Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi,
what are you saying?
Everyone, welcome back to TVI.
Hi.
I left my cup on the table. Fuck.
Advertising.
Star Wars got episode 168 guest. Francis Foster, comedian.
The most dangerous man in UK comedy.
The most dangerous South London comedian in a
double sleeve
welcome
tattoo.
Back. Welcome back.
Shunned
Francis.
By the business.
The most right wing comedian in the UK.
Fallen soldier.
Now, Rogan put you over onto us.
Yeah.
Since you recommended.
We heard of you on that. Yeah, we heard of you on that little podcast. It's your second time on the podcast.
It is indeed.
We'll talk about that in a minute. One quick thing. We were in Starbucks before. I was in there before you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got there. I had to run to the toilet.
The shift finished.
I was almost late for this fucking podcast. I was behind six girls, all like 18.
Yeah. Just locked in with your eyeballs.
Staring at their battery holes.
Just in a daydream.
Licking my lips. No, but I was behind.
Smelling their hair.
Excuse me, how does everybody fucking hate me and you just do this shit? And yeah, I go, maybe like we shouldn't like...
Because we're just perverts, we're not right wing, mate. You can get away with it as long as you're just a pervert.
No, as long as you're a left wing pervert.
Yeah,
do you know
exactly,
what I mean?
The best type.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, but...
not left or right, but I'm the bird.
Everyone, all of them ordered such elaborate coffees.
Yeah.
That it took. I was only behind like six people, but it took like 15 minutes. When you got there, I'd been in there for so long.
Yeah.
Because every single one of them had syrups and fucking cream and all these things. And like, and I was
just
literally waiting for
Pepper
a filter coffee.
Yeah.
My filter coffee, they just had to go like that and go bloop and that's it.
Yeah.
And fuck it, it annoyed me. It annoyed me. It put me in a bad mood.
I've stopped having coffee actually on the pod because I like peak and then dip at the end. So.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a bit of info for you.
Yeah, that's called age, mate.
What coffee did you go?
Young
for?
Age.
Yeah, I go oat. Such a oat milk flat white.
It's a classic.
I'm one of them now.
I'm an oat milk. But if I get a milky coffee, it's an oat milk flat white.
You see, it's accepted in metropolitan areas. You go out into the sticks and order an oat milk flat white, and they will look at you as a scum that you
are. You're on the way to the Pride March, mate. With your rainbow T-shirt.
No, but I reckon it's getting better though.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I remember when I went vegan a decade ago. Like, and I'd do gigs in, the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We'd stop at a fucking service station and try and get a soy latte at night. You just couldn't do it. Whereas now, I think it is starting to,
it's
starting to spread.
Business,
it's getting
it?
Into the sort of mainstream. I mean, it's been in the mainstream for a while, but now even like people in fucking like arse end of nowhere have started to sort of introduce dairy-free milks into their diet because they've realised it's... They're not going to get bowel
it's
cancer.
Probably
if they're
a bit
dead.
Better for you as well, isn't it?
I just like the French approach. You ever try to order like an oat milk cappuccino or a flat white in a French restaurant? They just look at you and go, no.
No, exactly. Yeah, no.
They just say no.
It's like, no, that's all they say.
But it's on the menu. No.
No.
I went to Budapest for a weekend And that was, I mean, it's the most ironic weekend I've ever had because I was in Hungary and I couldn't fucking eat anything.
Really?
But, yeah, like literally, like Budapest is not, we had like one vegan cafe we found and that was shit.
It's good to meet people of integrity. Do you know what I mean?
Budapest is Bucharest.
Is Romania.
Yeah,
Romania.
Oh yeah, that's where I went, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I thought I went there for a minute, but no, I went the other one.
It's lovely. Budapest is lovely. But it's also getting a bit of that stag weekend vibes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Love them vibes, man.
Well, the way our economy's going, mate, the whole thing's going to be fucking reversed. They're going to be coming here for their stag do's. They're going to be pissing in our fountains.
That'd be quite fun, actually. Yeah. To get loads of Hungarians every weekend coming over, getting wanked in O'Neill.
Look, I am pissing in their fountain.
No, he's not Scottish.
Anyway, welcome back.
Thank you, mate.
Since you were last on, your podcast has got even bigger.
Yeah.
Is it bigger as a podcast or is it bigger as a YouTube show now?
It's bigger as a YouTube show, but the podcast side is growing. So it's like we're about 500,000 across like all platforms, including like audio and video.
That's good.
So that's a lot of people. And obviously, you've just recently been in America on the Joe Rogan podcast. That's the biggest one in the world, right?
Yeah, Joe's is.
I think it's the biggest show in the world, including TV.
It probably is, isn't it? How many people watch or listen to it?
It gets about 10 mil an episode, average.
Hell, mate. Yeah. So many people.
You know
that's
what?
More than, that's almost like a sort of, you know, EastEnders Christmas special, isn't it?
I know, it's true.
That's not as much. I mean, I think last Christmas is, what was the biggest thing? We talked about this on the podcast a while back.
I think it was EastEnders with Angie and Den.
And they were, that was like 25 million. Yeah, like mental,
but that was only
it?
About 26 million in the country.
Every telly was on in the country.
Yeah, Joe Rogan's 11 million per episode.
Okay. Yeah. So if he keeps going, he'll get up to EastEnders Christmas special.
It needs Angie and Den on there.
Is he still alive, Leslie Grantham? Do you remember?
I think he died, man.
It got done for some.
He killed someone. He murdered someone.
It wasn't murder.
He knocked him in his car.
Yeah.
Wasn't that back in the day, though?
Yeah, it was.
Pre-Dirty Den.
Why were they in the way?
That's how he got the name Dirty Den. You got to kill someone to get that nickname.
Yeah.
But do you remember he got done for that Skype wank he was at?
Oh, yeah.
All the footage went around. He was licking his finger.
Look, but here's the thing. There's no dignified way to have a wank on camera.
R.I.P. Soldier.
As somebody who... I've had a small number of Skype sex...
Is this a confession, Carl?
With Julian during lockdown. And he's very good at it, is what I was going to say. He's the only one I know to make it right.
I slick my lips close to camera.
It's disgusting. Because normally when you do a FaceTime, you spend most of the time looking at yourself, innit?
That's how I wank anyway.
You are a comedian, mate, so therefore a narcissist, so it does make sense.
It's true.
But I found it there. Obviously, with Skype wanks, getting sex... You don't. It's the one time you actually want to be looking at the other thing.
Yeah.
Which had the other woman as her
but the big old dick.
Do you know what? When you see like those things, it makes you realise how women literally take one for the team. Do you know what I mean?
My God,
seeing our sweaty, horrible faces.
Yeah. It's we're pretty gross.
Blessed,
mate.
Bless up, sisters.
I should probably say Luke's on the desk today. Is it your first time doing the desk?
Luke on the ones and the twos.
Am I doing that bad a job?
No.
Have you done this before, though?
First time in this room. Yeah. No, I mean, it's the first time you've done our podcast. You do other podcasts here, but this is a first. So feel free to, like, you know, you're welcome to join in. Don't feel like you just got to sit there.
Oh, joy.
Just not enjoying us at all. So you were in America. How long were you in America?
We were there for 18 days. We went over, we started in New York.
Nice.
We interviewed a comedian called Tyler Fisher, Mark Normand. I think you probably know Mark.
I've heard of Mark Normand. I've not heard of Tyler Fisher, but Mark Normand did Edinburgh one year. I remember him coming over, did he?
No, he said he didn't do it.
Has he done London?
Yeah, he's done London. He did London about last month. We were talking.
Has he done it before?
No.
Maybe I'm thinking of someone else, but I do know the name Mark Normand.
Yeah, so we did.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. And then we went to Washington to see a few friends. Then we went to Austin. We interviewed Theo Von, went on Rogan.
Theo Von's funny.
I love Theo, man.
I've listened to his podcast a couple of times. He's a very funny. He's one of them people that can just chat on his own.
Yeah.
Which is a rare thing, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And he's properly sound as well. And the thing is with Theo, when you talked, it was like, when we interviewed Theo, I felt a bit guilty actually, because we'd just come back from Rogan. We both had like, it was a 4.5 hour interview. We smoked this huge blunt on the podcast. So we were all off our nuts.
I couldn't do that, man.
It's probably high quality.
Oh,
well.
Mate, it was.
Rogan probably grows it. In
yeah.
His,
and it was.
On his farm.
Yeah. And it was incredible, right? And then we get back.
Is it all legal over there, everywhere?
No, it depends on the state. So, for instance, in New York, it's perfectly legal. In California...
Legal, but you can just... In the street?
Yeah. You literally walk into a dispensary, they're called, right? Which is basically a weed store, and you go, right, this is what I like. I prefer, like, a more chilled out, relaxed, or I want something which is a bit more peppy, and they go, would you prefer edible? Would you prefer smoke? Do you prefer to smoke? And they will just give you, like, just... It's like walking into, you know, like a craft beer store almost. And you can say what it is that you like.
Okay.
Whilst in Austin...
I'd fuck myself up. I remember doing that in Amsterdam. When I went into... I remember me and my mates doing some mushrooms. And, like, my mate went into the shop and went and got them for us all. And he was like, I'll just give me some mild ones. We've never done it before. And we were, like, you know, 20 or something. And then it all took them. And within about half an hour, they weren't very strong. So me and my other mate went over and were like, give us the strongest things you've got that will fuck us up. Me and him took a whole box of these truffles each, and it just went like, we went so over the top. Like, we were like, went through to the point of like, we're going to die. My mate had a full on psychotic episode, ripped his clothes off, pissed himself in front of us, threatened us.
And then he'd come up on the mushrooms.
And then kicked in and just chilled out a bit.
Trying to explain to you spirituality whilst with a wet crop.
Yeah. But no, but it's that thing of like, that's what I feel like, you know, it's a danger, isn't it? You give me the nice chill one and you have one.
I did that.
Like, give me the strongest shit.
I ate a whole bag and it said, it's got instructions in it. Like, the longer you chew it, the better, the more strong it is. Yeah. So I'm thinking, it's got instructions. It ain't going to blow my head off. I was fucked.
Everything's got instructions.
It's like IKEA, innit? Yeah. I was just fucked up, man. I was laughing so much I had to sit away from everyone. Mm. I had to go and sit on my own in the corner so I could finish cry laughing.
Yeah.
But it's so much more dignified and so much safer than what we got over here. I remember the first time I went to Glastonbury.
It's not as naughty. That's why it's not as fun. Yeah. I like drugs being illegal because you feel like you're
blown up my arsehole in the alleyway.
People doing a bit of key and coke in a toilet. That's way more fun than if it was legal.
Yeah, but the thing is like you don't know what you're getting. Like, I remember I took mushrooms
again,
at Glastonbury.
That's the fun. The fun is you could die. What's the point in doing it?
Some of that sweet fentanyl. Like, yeah.
Just be there in the fucking corner just like...
there is within reason. I think we're quite blessed here that, you know, if you are buying narcotics, they're normally cut so much. Not with murder.
It's quite handy if they're cut with paracetamol, isn't it?
Makes you feel like more of a man anyway.
Yeah.
You do 15 lines in a night.
Ibuprofen.
Makes your knees feel better. Yeah.
But here's the thing. In Texas, it's actually illegal because Texas is it's a purple state, which is, it's a mixture of Republican and Democrat. But the Republicans run it, but it's got a large sort of liberal bent to it.
Yeah.
And
isn't it meant to be like sort of, isn't it Austin's meant to be like the hipster
capital
of America now?
Yeah, and that's where the University of Texas is. It's where the University of Austin is. So it's quite liberal and like hipster. But it's actually illegal to smoke weed, but Joe's podcast is so big that he just doesn't give a fuck.
So you're... Oh, right, okay.
He just smokes it when, like, on camera, and it's illegal.
But that's like the whole, like... I was at Top Secret on Friday when Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, and Aziz Ansari were on stage together all at once. And, like, Chappelle was just smoking the whole time. And even
Mark there,
I
bet Mark was not happy.
Oh, Mark
just
was
came
so
up
and... stressed. But obviously, he was
going like, for vaping.
He was so excited. Obviously, Mark, like, for people that basically Mark Rothman, who runs Top Secret Comedy Club, it's the best comedy club. It's unlike any other comedy club in the UK, and there's so many shows are running at the same time, and it's so exciting.
It's like
full
the
of
perfect
young people.
Club, isn't it?
It's like it's become this sort of hub of. Like comedy, the new comedy sort of comedy going public of London, you know what I mean? It's not just about, you don't just pay 20 quid, go and sit down and watch a show. It's just, it feels like there's a real buzz to it. That's why like big names pop in. But Mark, who runs it, he runs an incredible business. But he's like a sort of, I've never seen anything like it. He's fucking like spinning so many plates.
You go in there, he's putting a light bulb in.
Yeah, exactly.
In the toilet.
Yeah.
Fixing everything.
Fixing a lock on a toilet
and then
door.
He's, like, literally when he's just come off stage from hosting, Dale says he runs off and he goes and like he's plunging the toilet. but he was so stressed because obviously it was chaos. Word had got round that they were coming down like that. But fucking Chappelle's just smoking on stage. And I was like, how big you got to be just to be able to get away with that, knowing that the club will just pay the fine.
Yeah.
It's that funny thing where, like, I don't know why I found that the most shocking thing about what they were on stage. You know, they didn't say anything shocking at all, but, like, I mean, I was watching it, like, oh, that's the most shocking thing to me is having a fag on stage.
How big's the fine for that?
I don't know. I don't reckon it'd be that much.
They'd have to get caught, wouldn't they, I suppose?
But there was no policing. No one told them.
But did they confiscate phones? Because normally when Chappelle performs... No. Really?
Well, they couldn't.
It was just doing a relaxed kind of.
Yeah, it was
chat,
unannounced. It was unannounced. No one knew he was there. So they came on. Security couldn't go and take 300 people's phones off them. Yeah.
Oh, but they did that up the creek when Kevin Hart, because he dropped down to the blackout.
Yeah.
And no one knew he was coming, and he had.
It's a person of color out. Thank you very much. You racist fucking pig.
That's what somebody
cancel his gigs.
Shouted him when he went on
all
stage.
Your open mics. I want them gone.
How did that work? I don't understand.
He had his own guys.
But what was the admin of that would be an absolute nightmare.
They were literally just like prowling around the thing, being like anyone holding their phone.
Oh yeah, if you get they did say no photos or videos. But then a couple of people tried it and they just got straight to the security and was like, put it away. Like there was no people weren't getting dragged out or nothing. It was all very, it was actually very chilled. Mm. Like it was late as well in the atmosphere. Like they definitely, I think, went on too late because like. It sort of got. They obviously when they went on stage, the fucking place went off.
Oh, of course,
but then quite quickly when
they weren't even expecting them.
No one had a clue.
It's
like the crowd got so excited when Aziz Ansari went on in the middle to do stand up. Like it was like, fuck, that's like American guy. Mm. And then after the interval, Chappelle went on. Like just got introduced as the third act, and the crowd were like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah.
And then he brought Chris Rock out on stage like, after 5 minutes. Whoa. And then after about 10 minutes, Aziz Ansari went back on. The three of them just sort of just chatted. But what was quite interesting, because it was late and it'd been a long night of comedy, like Aziz did quite long in the middle, the actual energy dropped off quite substantially.
And I wouldn't have done if I was there, mate.
They would have all left.
We'd have never gone there.
Yeah, exactly. They would have got really used to that tepid sort of atmosphere.
Don't go. I've still got to do my jokes.
But basically, yeah, like the actual energy was sort of plateaued quite early doors. And there was a few, like, you know, Chris Rock was quite good at making jokes about how the energy wasn't very good and some bits weren't landing, and it's like it was quite heartening, I think, to see for them to get that, because it's like that's a London audience thing, isn't it? You still got to maintain the energy and keep the jokes coming. Yeah. I think actually when it got to them three just having a chat, a lot of the audience were like, oh come on mate, just do a joke, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean? Which I think it's quite a nice thing to have that cynicism as a group of people.
Definitely.
Yeah, in America, I think they would have ridden the energy of them being superstars much longer. Whereas here, we're like, but you make me laugh.
I was at the Cellar, in like the Comedy Cellar in New York, and they had like Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart did a set, and like everyone went mental. He was actually really, really funny. And then they got like a few other people who've been on big series, like just chatting and laughing. And it just seemed more conducive to an American audience because they're more about like the celebrity culture.
I think so. Here we, I do. I've seen it happen with loads of people. I remember doing Up the Creek with Kev Bridges.
Mm.
This was like 5 years ago. So he'd already become Kevin Bridges, superstar arena comedian. And he was in town and he went down to try out some new stuff in the middle on a Friday night at Up the Creek. And I was closing, mate. That's one of them calls get. When they're like, oh, Kev's going to go on in the middle and do 20 minutes of new. And you're like, I am a dead man. And but actually, because it was...
Did you do your wanking bit? That always brings it back.
Oh, mate, I did. I pulled out every trick in the book. So like, when I went on, obviously I didn't get anywhere near a round of applause the size of Kev.
Yeah.
And I literally pulled the whole sort of, I get it. Some guy off the telly and you go fucking mental for, but a fucking Londoner goes on, you go, well, shit. And they're like, yeah, he's one of us. Like, I basically had to trick him into going for me early doors, but because it was a Friday night up the creek, it was December, they were just well pissed. So actually Kev quite quickly realised, oh, this is not conducive for new material.
Did he go over time?
No, not at all. He underran, I think,
because
he just couldn't be arsed with it.
Lee Evans jumps on in the middle at the Glee, doesn't he? It does about like 40 minutes.
No, but Kev got a bit annoyed with him because like, he went on to do new stuff and it was a fucking December Friday and Saturday and up the creek. So it was hilarious fuck. So I think he ended up sort of going, oh, this is actually isn't the right place for new material. So just so
that's the thing with bankers.
Yeah, that's the thing with Kev. Can't handle pressure, mate. It's used to playing arenas, mate, but Friday night at the creek, can't handle it.
It was very, yeah, you could tell he was just like getting annoyed with people just going, you know, coked up fucking geezers from Kent.
Oh, mate, I'll tell you this one thing. Like, so I used to regularly MC the Person of Colour out on a Thursday, right, which is a new act, new material. Like, it was a little gong show, right? Mm. And there was these, and I love the
it's
creek.
Good they got you to MC.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Person of
Colour. Bit of diversity.
Yeah, bit of diversity. Get him out.
Did you pull the Venezuelan card?
Of course I did, early balls. Of course I fucking did.
Had your Venezuelan football shirt
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly. Ay.
With your accent.
Yeah. They all looked at me and went, he don't look fucking African. What's going on? No, and there was this group of lads, right, who were persistently heckling, just being knobs, right? And then I walked into the toilets and they were there in a circle, all taking a piss into a cup.
Oh, yeah.
And they just, one of them just looked at me and went, as
down,
I walked in,
down
mate.
This comp.
And do you know what? I did. Yeah.
We got you a drink.
And that's what won him back, mate. That's why you're a good comp. Yeah.
But just one of them looked at me and went, it's not gay.
I mean, yeah, it's not, I'm not saying it's not gay, but it's not on, is it? It's not, it's just like, yeah.
I don't even think that's something gay people do anyway.
No, exactly. Yeah, I don't, it's such a weird blokey, straight blokes. Just, like, it's a weird thing with a certain genre of straight bloke, isn't it? Like
it's
your rugby lads.
It's homoerotic, yeah. Isn't it?
It's almost like they want to go all the way to like, just, we're all going to look at
each other's cocks. Suck
each other's cocks. And we're going to wank, we're gonna wank in front of each other. And then it's like, but no, we're not gay. I'm like, it's always like you've got to stop just looking, before that. So what's
looking
just,
in your mate's eyes as you come.
Yeah. But literally, just like you want to say to him, just why don't you all just try it once? Just like literally bang each other and see how it
film
feels.
It
and then you'll
it
get
over.
It out of your system.
Or join the rugby team. That's what they all
but
do.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That sort of vibe of like.
Rugger buggers.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, you just want to say to him, why don't you just kiss one of your mates?
Yeah.
And then if you like it, then you'll that's what you
bring it
be.
In.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, then stop acting like that. Yeah. That's what I'd say if I was a teacher.
Yeah. That's what you'd tweet at them.
But anyway, what were you saying before we got on to. Well, yeah, we were saying to you were in America, you went to. You did Theo Von and you did Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And what was the.
What's this studio like? Oh,
yeah. What is it? I bet it's wild nice.
It's really
got
nice.
A warehouse kind of vibe.
Yeah, it is. It's a warehouse kind of vibe. Like the moment you walk in, you just realise like it's so professional.
Yeah, cool.
Everything is right, really mate, professional right in America.
Here, excuse me.
Thanks, Francis.
Yeah, exactly.
But whenever you do anything,
we got some good kit.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to show it because of this is, you know, based in Vauxhall and it will get nicked next week. But
it's true. Very good security in these stores.
60 grand worth of stuff.
But everything, like, they take podcasting. To them, podcasting is just another form of broadcasting.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's like, oh, let's go and do a podcast. We'll sit in the park and I'll get my little fucking phone out and then we'll do it.
Yes. I mean, it is starting to get more professional here, obviously. As,
well, it is, isn't it? Like,
but it's, yeah.
They call it narrow casting, though, don't they, as opposed to broad, because it's specific. You know,
yeah.
People are, I've never that's why that advertising money's better in podcasts, because people are listening as opposed to having it on.
Yeah. Passively.
Know, yeah, do you know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that. I've never
narrow
that,
casting.
Narrow casting. Yeah. I like it.
France, is it true? Because I watched an interview with Norm Macdonald where he said he got frisked by, like, SAS looking bodyguards and stuff. Is that all bullshit?
No. we didn't get frisked at all.
That's Norm Macdonald chatting. Have you ever read Norm Macdonald's autobiography?
No.
It's one of the funniest books you'd ever read. Like it's called Based on a True Story, and like it's just he writes it in this way that you never know what's real and what's not. And it's apparently the audiobook's very good, but I read the actual book, guys.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because he just tells. At one point, you know, he starts a story about a night on SNL where you're like, oh, this feels true. But by the end of it, he's in prison or something. This is what obviously is not true. Like, he just, so you never know. Everything he said, you could always, he did it with the idea of like fucking everyone up and no one knows what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
That's why he was one of the best.
But in my opinion. The one thing, like, when you meet, like, Joe. Like he's a properly sound
Joe guy. Now, is it?
Joe, yeah, Joe.
My mate Joe. But he's a really sound guy, really nice guy, cares passionately about comedy. And then you go on Twitter to see how UK comedians talk about him. Like, he's a dickhead, he's a bastard. I'm like...
I've never heard anyone bad-mouth Joe Rogan. I mean, I've heard people like sort of in conversation say they're not into it or whatever.
Yeah, no.
I've never seen anyone tweet about him.
Yeah, You should go on the Joe Rogan Experience and shit on the UK comedy industry.
Oh, right. But that's you then. They're shitting on you for your chat, not him. You caused that and yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I'm pretty...
People see him as kind of a muscle-heady. I think they misunderstand it, maybe. Because he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a really good guy, man. And look, you
the
don't...
The only criticism I've really... I mean, again, I'm out of the loop, though. That's anyone... I'm pretty outside the sort of culture wars. I don't really pay attention to any of it. But
that's why you're sane, mate. Well done.
That's why I'm mentally sound.
Yeah.
But I always, the only criticism I've heard of him are times when he's had people like Alex Jones on his
and
he sort of talks about him as their mate. And obviously Alex Jones is a cunt, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In terms of, like, I'm not saying that. I mean, what he did to those parents. And
of
the
course,
that
man.
Killed,
it's despicable.
You know, he's horrible and he's been done for it. Like, so I think sometimes the criticism of someone like Joe Rogan is that he normalizes someone of that extreme. That's not just having some contrarian sort of a commentator on who might say some things that upset people. That is having somebody who's almost on another level, isn't it?
It's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. So yeah. Like, I think that's the only time I've really seen any criticism.
Is his... trial over now, Alex Jones?
I think, yeah.
What happened? He got guilty?
Yeah, he was guilty. I think, yeah.
What's going to happen?
I don't know. I wasn't following it that closely, but he was found guilty.
Well, get him on.
Yeah. Get him on. Mate, I'll tell you what.
Wait,
if you
bottoms
want views,
out,
man,
we'll get him in the studio.
After that little spiel. Anyway, our next guest is Alex Jones.
I mean, yeah.
Six million views.
I'd get him on. I mean, I'm an absolute hypocrite.
It'd
but
funny.
I didn't follow it all, but I gathered there was some fallout of you to you for whatever you chatted about on Joe Rogan.
Yeah. So
what
so
is it? Talk us through the.
I've watched
talk
the first.
Us through
like,
the,
I've watched the first 25
controversy.
Minutes.
Yeah. So what happened was Joe said to me, like, why is it, or both of us, why is it that all UK comedians suck?
Right.
And I laughed and I went, yeah, they do. Right.
Okay.
And then we went off and we had a broader conversation.
Were you trying to butter up the big famous comedian? Is this what's happening here?
Here's the thing.
Keep my name out of your mouth.
But as the very famous American economist Thomas Sowell said, when you make a statement, you say compared to what? Right. Whenever you make a statement.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you could say, England, like Tottenham are the best team in the world. You go, well, the best team. You go, compared to what? Compared to London, compared to the Premier League, compared to the Champions League.
There's a lot of shit American comics as well, isn't
there?
Yeah.
But I think the elite level of American comics are on a completely different level to the UK comics. That's what I should have said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's what it used to, I think, again, it's that thing when sometimes
you state
something as it's a classic thing.
Killing rooms, man.
Yeah, it's absolute shit. He was in that group you were talking about.
Even named me.
But yeah, I think it is that thing. I
played a clip of me on it.
When, if you make a statement like that sounds like a quite a broad generalisation.
But why
the danger,
UK,
I suppose, is...
Why would the comics care, though? Like, I didn't care that you said that. I know you weren't talking about me because you rate me.
Yeah.
Sean Walsh had, like, the funniest when he messaged in afterwards. He was like, could you just have said they're all shit except Sean Walsh?
Yeah. I suppose, yeah, if you'd have just named some.
Yeah.
You might not have had the grief.
You did Big Nico up on
Nico Yearwood.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we big Nico up. It was my plan, actually, to big up, like, and just go, like, actually.
Well, then you stick to the plan.
Yeah. I wanted to also mention Jeff Innocent on there because I don't think Jeff gets his dues in comedy. I think Jeff's a phenomenal comedian.
I was with him at the weekend. Obviously,
good,
like, a top draw.
Yeah.
Comedian. Yeah, because that's the funny thing. I suppose, again, it's more, I suppose it's that classic, that's almost, this sums up the subjectivity of comedy more than anything, you know. People forget, I think people assume, because comedians are in comedy, that we're hyper aware that we're still subjective about it.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, no, we're still just normal people who watch comedy. Like, you know, I mean, everyone's got their opinions on.
Mm.
You know, like I'm the opposite to you, and I'm not a massive fan of American comedy.
Yeah.
Never have been. I was. Mm. I grew up watching Dave Allen and fucking, you know, sort of the Billy Connollys and stuff. So I think of sort of British and Irish comedy as way superior to American comedy, just because that's my taste.
Mm.
You know, even currently, like I would still say like Tommy Tiernan's the best in the world.
Yeah.
But I know that no one in America would know who he is. Mm. So like, yeah, I mean, I think it's totally subjective, and. Yeah, I think probably that's where the argument arose from.
Yeah.
What sounded like a lack of objectivity.
Some people took it personally, didn't
they?
Yeah,
they did. They got very upset. Very,
what was the thing? What I gathered, the only one I saw, the only part that I saw about the argument was about, and it was, I didn't even see the original tweet. I think I saw somebody reply to it.
Yeah.
I can't even remember who fucking replied. Yeah. It's not bad. But it was about something about saying you can't say stuff in English comedy clubs. What was that thing about?
Oh, that was Constantine. So right. We went to see Rogan at his club. It was Joe. It was Tony Hinchcliffe. It was...
Tony Hinchcliffe? I know Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, Kill Tony. He does a Kill Tony
point. That's why I know
Theo Von and Hans... American Chinese
Gruber.
Hans Gruber. He was doing 10 minutes on the Nakatomi Plaza, mate.
I've got to pretend to know who he is.
He's a bad guy from reference. Die Hard.
Oh, yeah.
Hans Gruber, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
He was like a war criminal or something.
And they were doing stuff like legitimately, like, there was like, I mean, I remember one bit like open with like something along the lines of like trans women. Aren't women.
Right.
And then it went off into like a bit that was like very gender critical.
Right, okay.
And a like very... And
okay.
And we were like, there's no way you could do this in the UK. There just isn't.
I suppose it... But you say that. I reckon you could. It just depends on the club, surely.
Yeah.
You'd get big heat, I bet.
Yeah, you would do.
I think you'd get more shit off the comedians. Like, you know... No, I don't think that's true, actually. I think if you did it in a crowd that was full of young people, I think they'd be like... Probably
Top
sort of...
Secret's quite good like that, though. Like, aren't they? They're quite bit better, yeah.
Yeah, and there was just stuff that was really, like, even I was like, oh, that's a bit far.
Yeah.
Even you.
But also, do you think, again, like, it's almost a cultural thing.
Who was on
thing.
Hitler?
Not, mate, he's got a great type vibe, you know what I mean? Listen, like, he softens you up with the dick jokes and gets into the whole Jew stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Pulls you in.
Yeah.
But I still think it must be, I'm just trying to think, I think that's partly because here there's less... comedians who give a shit about that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? That's what I often find. Again, I think in America, it's because arguments are... Everything's bigger in America.
Yeah.
It's amplified.
Yeah.
So these cultural debates in America are much bigger things. There's much bigger podcasts talking about it and TV, and they've got a much more sort of partisan TV, haven't they? So all these arguments get amplified much more. So there's more comedians talking about them because they're bigger public stories. Whereas here, I reckon if you went on and did... You know, a gig at the fucking Birmingham Glee and started doing a bit about trans people, 90% of the audience wouldn't know what you're on about.
Yeah.
They've not read anything about it. They don't really...
The promoter might be a bit more...
It would be a Twitter argument that most people aren't on Twitter. Well, 80% of the country aren't on Twitter.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I genuinely think a lot of that sort of thing, when people talk about how you can't say stuff, like most of the audience wouldn't know what you're on about, mate.
Mm.
So that's what I'm always quite hesitant to care about when people
the
talk
problem
about
is
that.
The audience, like, even if one of them, like, they would attack, they would send emails, they would get, you know what I mean, people on it, I guess.
Yeah, so and that's the thing, it's the vast majority of people wouldn't care one way or another.
Yeah,
like, I'll give an example, like, my mum is obviously Venezuelan. I saw, like,
really,
yeah, exactly. Never
is she
fucking
is she a real
about
woman? Or...
What does she identify as? Mental. So I saw socialism come into like Venezuela, literally decimate everything, everything economically. Like, my cousin, who's a journalist and was critical of the regime, had to flee Venezuela. Secret police, all of this stuff. But
where
when
did
I
flee to?
Uruguay, actually.
Oh, that's all
right. He's now a professor of journalism, I think, at Montevideo University. And
Thanks for letting them know where he is.
They're going to fucking hunt him down. Sorry, Luis Manuel. Blew your
probably
fucking
lives at 14,
cover, mate.
Yeah, Uruguay Street.
There probably is a 14
work
Uruguay.
At 5 p.m. It's the tram.
But But like, I would never like. I used to like. I remember like working like in comedy clubs and booking nights and whatever else. And if someone came on and was just like, came on and did like a pro socialism bit. I think Alex Keeley had a bit. He was a very funny comic.
Yeah.
And like, and I think like that way of looking at the world is wrong and whatever else. But the bit was good, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
But I think that we've got to a point where everybody
agree with the comic.
Everybody's so politicized.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't go with it.
I still think most comedy clubs aren't like that. I don't know. I don't have that.
Mm.
I've seen loads of people do bits.
Generally not, but the squeaky wheel gets the noise.
Couple of divs in the crowd who get like who email afterwards.
I had a woman come up to me the other day and start
deservedly
telling,
so, yeah. But what you did wasn't right.
She wanted me to come back to my hotel. Let me finish the story
to help me write better punchlines.
To help me workshop some of these bits. Work on my performance a little bit. But she came up to me so arrogantly, and I was just really polite and nice. Paul Revel come over and was asking her to leave me. But I was like, no, it's fine. But she was just completely... She was saying, you need to do this bit there, that bit there, put that bit in the beginning. I used to work for the BBC. And I was like, and then she said, "What
used to? Well, they get rid of you for being a fucking idiot,
getting annoying everyone." But and she said about one of my jokes was transphobic, and it didn't even mention gender.
I know the joke you're talking about.
It's not even that joke.
It's a
steroid joke.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Not the really transphobic one you do, mate.
Yeah, not that stuff.
Yeah,
but like, and she got it, and I just explained the joke. I said, look, not all my jokes are real.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, the chicken didn't actually cross the road.
Mm.
Like, you know, my uncle's not a pig, not that I do that joke. But like,
just clarify for anyone who hasn't seen Junior, he doesn't do chicken crossing the road.
But you know, it's an example of jokes are jokes.
Yeah.
Like everything, there's not even any consistency in some of them. Like, but she was annoying.
Yeah.
But I was just really polite and nice back. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what you said is actually a really good point, because when you're in America, you actually feel that debate is actually far more close to the surface than it is in the UK.
That's what I gather. Yeah.
Because if you think about like they have a constant debate about guns and gun ownership.
Yeah. Mm.
And you don't realize when you go to like LA or New York that that's not America, but you go to Texas and literally everybody's packing.
Mm.
Everybody's packing. Yeah, exactly. Big. That's why I like it there, mate.
It. Yeah.
The gay clubs are off the scene, mate. Six wangs in your face.
So what? They've got guns on the outside in holsters.
Yeah.
Mental.
They're just carrying it. Everybody is.
They have to have it on, like, not concealed. They can't have a concealed weapon.
Yeah, that's it.
Has to be on the outside.
Yeah.
What is that? Surely that's worse. I know. Is that worse?
Yeah.
I don't know what's worse. Carrying them out.
I think outside is better in a way, isn't it?
Because
you can just carry a bazooka on your shoulder.
there is a limit on which guns, like an automatic, you can't. And stuff.
But we went to like a gun fair, right?
Right.
So we walked in there. We walked in, went to this gun fair. We got taken there by this guy who's a big fan of the show. He's like former like advisor to Trump. And he loves the show, right? And he said, like, you boys are gonna come and see some freedom, right?
Right.
And we went to a
put
gun
a
show.
Fucking gun in your mouth.
Yeah.
Do you feel free, boy?
And like, the thing is, everybody was so fucking polite at the gun show. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Because everyone was packing.
They called you ma'am.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever I identified as at the time.
What were you wearing?
Right? But it was just really interesting because you got to see another side of America. Because to them, it's their, what they say, it's their Second Amendment right to bear arms.
Yes.
And America was forged in revolution. That's how the country was created.
Yeah.
So it's fundamentally part of their origin story, which is why when you see British people like go, oh, they're packing guns and this is... You go, well, you just don't understand the culture.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but there is that. But that, I agree. I think
people look at the stats on the deaths.
Yeah, of course.
I do think, as much as I think you know, I agree. It's part. It is such a big part of their culture.
I would definitely own a gun though if I was there.
I mean, firing guns.
But what if you lived in LA? You wouldn't.
Not that, necessarily. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind owning a gun. I'd be responsible.
I would.
It.
No.
It's a lot. Tell you what, I'm
just want to kill myself in the night, crying with it in my mouth.
Just there for after any bad gig,
having a shot of whiskey.
Yeah,
I don't know. I wouldn't want to own a gun. Genuinely,
if everyone had a gun, like if you know someone,
is you're drunk. And like your neighbours are playing their music too loud.
No, but I'd have it.
Fuck me, Carl. How angry are you?
No,
mate.
No. I mean, and
I'd
then
keep
like,
it safe under my pillow.
All it takes you the escalation of anything. If you've ever got in a fight drunk, but surely that's the escalation. You could have surely if the gun.
No,
you had a gun that could have
on,
got
mate.
Involved.
So but if someone's going to burgle your house in certain parts of America, they're going to be armed.
Yeah.
You need to take them out.
But then that's
between
again.
The eyes.
But where are you going to keep it in your house under your pillow?
I'd always hold it.
Just wear a holster to bed. Just sleep with it there like that.
I've been gunslinging it walking around like a hacky sack.
Yeah. But no, I agree. There is that. I do think there is a weird. It's hard to understand other cultures. I think America is a massive part of their history and culture. But I do. Still think sometimes
they'll never be
cultural...
able to ban it.
No, but
sometimes I do think even things that are part of an old culture, you do need to every now and again have a little look at them and see how can we change this to be more modern and more in fitting with modern culture. So
they
that's
can
why
ban certain types of guns.
Anyone who owns a machine gun who isn't a fucking marine, I think is in the army at war. I think I don't think they should be allowed to own one of them.
Yeah,
because I think that's mentally ill to allow.
Go to a gun
imagine
range
one of us could
go.
Just go and buy a machine gun.
In Walmart,
I don't think we should be allowed.
In Asda.
We can't even like do proper jobs.
Lidl do like cheap versions.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I feel like there's just
this is the Magnum.
A bit of legislation on it that's my thing is that I think if it's part of your culture, allow it, but you can tailor it to civilized life.
I think, and one of the things is as well, it's like, it's such a big sport over there. Like, we went, like, this guy, like...
Killing people.
Yeah.
They're the best at it in the world, mate.
No, I want to compete.
But you go to a gun range, and it's just, it's so much fun. Like,
I have, I mean, I will say that.
I'd like to do that.
I have been to a gun range, and it was fun. Actually.
It is loads. It's loads of fun. So you get, like an AK-47, and, like...
That's a machine gun, is it?
No, the AK is, like, your standard, like, issue rifle.
So it's a bang, bang, bang.
And then you just like you use the handguns, the Glocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just so much fun.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I've been to a gun range. I did find it fun.
Yeah.
And but then I didn't walk away thinking I'd love those in my house.
Yeah, you know it's a different thing.
If I went to Alton Towers, I wouldn't think I want to get fucking Nemesis put in my house.
You're
allowed to go and enjoy things somewhere that is safe and controlled.
Do you know what I mean? That'd be great. Imagine if you were doing so well at comedy. How Paul's doing well? And he sold out the O2 six times in a row. What's he doing? He's put the Nemesis in his house.
I've got Ramesses. Revenge in my garden.
Comes out of your front wall and goes back in again.
A roller coaster gets you to your front door.
But yeah, that's what I do. But anyway, so you went to gun show. What else did you do? What other American things?
It was amazing because we hung out with this former advisor to Trump who I really get on with. Like, he's really sound. And then we went to America. We went to LA. Which I think is what America is. And like, we interviewed Sam Harris.
Oh, yeah. I saw a clip of that.
I do love
that
Sam Harris, to be fair. Yeah.
He's a...
He's a very clever man.
He's like a computer.
Well, that's it. He's almost like, you know...
I was listening to his podcast.
On the spectrum? I don't know what the...
I don't know. Is it true to
diagnose somebody?
I mean, he did a lot of psychedelics back in the day, a lot of meditation
stuff.
Yeah.
I've read about some of his meditation things.
They're really good.
I do like that.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy.
He was the Four Horsemen with Christopher Hitchens
and Dawkins, part of the New
Dawkins and that other fourth breader. Yeah,
yeah.
Who was the fourth one?
I forget. It's Dennett, Sam. No, something. I don't know.
Can't remember.
No one can remember. But so he was part of the New Atheist movement, and then we interviewed him, and he was such a nice guy, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that, we are having tech problems, and our producer Anton went, "Look, I can't work it out. Like, we'll just record it and we'll get it taken out and post edit." And Sam was like, "I've taken the entire afternoon off. Like, you do what you need to do.
It will
get sorted." Nice. He performed some kind of like Jedi mysticism mind trick on the producer. 5 minutes later, the thing was working perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when he shoved the gun in his mouth.
Shot his kneecaps.
Motherfucker!
You need some motivation.
Yeah, have some fucking freedom! And then and then like he gave us more time than was than we originally stipulated. It was just a great guy.
Yeah.
And then we put that interview out, and it went mental.
Because he's very anti-Trump.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he was very anti-Trump, like, vocally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he hates Trump.
Right.
He hates him, he can't stand him. So it's really interesting, like, and this is what I love about, like, doing my show is, like, we'll talk to someone who's pro-Trump, and then I went to interview Sam, who just despises him, like, compared him to, like, an asteroid hitting the Earth.
Yeah.
That's how much he hates Trump.
Yes.
He doesn't Biden either, does he?
He doesn't, but it's like, you know, he understands the cultural impact. That's what I've heard him, I've listened or read something that he wrote about Trump, and it was, I found it very, I really liked it, because it was that thing of, it was almost putting politics to one side and saying, you've got to think about, this isn't just a normal presidency, it's like the sort of, you've got to think about the cultural impact that this was, the ripple effect of this.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think people were so obsessed with the day-to-day things Trump was saying, and actually they forgot about what the lasting effect of that could be.
Yeah.
And that's what I found, I really liked sort of his thinking on it. I found it very interesting. Right, that's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/wearetvi.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Mm. That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. And but if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're right.
You
know. Well, if you die of AIDS in an alleyway.